Good to see everybody here this morning. We understand that every time we wake up, indeed it is a blessing, right? We talked on the outside here, and Brother James, one thing we have to really understand is that there's so many people that we're not able to do what we're doing right now, to see, to witness this day. You know, they're no longer here on this earth, and so many people die every single day, every day around this world. And so life is indeed a blessing that we receive from the Most High, you know. And so we have to look at that. And if you can wake up, that's the best part of the day, isn't it? That's the best part of the day. It's like, thank you, Father, for allowing me. We're like everybody else, you know, other people. Innocent people, children die, right? Good people die. Good Christian, God-fearing people die. You know, everybody dies. The evil die. We all die together. But the fact that he allowed us to wake up to see another day, to say, okay, we should all say, you know what? I want to obey your commandments this day, right? Man, we talked about our last lesson was on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, we looked at those themes being love for the much part, right? For the most part, it was showing that we love God by keeping his commandments, showing that we are his disciples by the love that we have toward one another. And the whole theme of it was love, 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 love. And then even when it talked about people coming and preaching a different gospel and the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, how do you combat that? With love. Because studying his commandments and keeping his commandments is love, right? That is love. How, you know, it says, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if we keep his commandments, which means we're dealing with love, if we keep his commandments, then we'll be able to resist those, that false doctrine. We'll know his commandments. So we'll be able to tell the difference between the false teachings, the lies that come, and the truth. And so that's what it's all about. Now let's go to the book of James. A lot of you, if you've been in some of the early classes that I used to do, and it's been a while, we used to attack the book of James because the book of James, there's so many things to get you prepared for this life out here that we live. So we're going to look at the first chapter. First chapter. Let me get my glasses so I can see. Okay, so let me read a little bit about the book of James and before we go in. So the theme of James is faith. Faith. The substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not yet seen. Right? We can't see it. So, but this one talks about faith without works. It's one thing to have faith, but you got to do something with that faith, right? That's what we talk about, belief. If you believe in Christ, you're saved. That's true. But it doesn't mean just believe. Oh, I believe in him, now you're saved. No, there's things you got to do. You got to hear the word. You got to repent. You got to confess. You got to be baptized. You got to live according to his will. You know, that's a working thing. It's an action verb, actually. Belief is an action verb. So faith without works cannot be called faith. It says, faith without works is dead. And we'll see that in chapter 2, verse 26. And in the book of James. And a dead faith is worse than no faith at all. Faith must work. It must produce. It must be visible. So what is, speaking of visible, God says, you can tell the tree by the fruit that it bears. That's how it's visible. You see? I can tell your faith, not by what you say, because I have a lot of people that claim holiness and righteousness that I work with and see on a daily basis, and their actions are quite contrary to what they say. So that's why they tell you they're so holy and they're righteous and they're believers and sanctified and all of this stuff is because they know deep down inside that's not the life that they live. My coworker so angry at me because I wanted to do things the right way. Says, well, you find money in a, you're trying to tell me if you find money in an ATM machine, you won't pick it up and take it? Like, it's not mine. I don't care how it got there. If it was a glitch in the system, it's a glitch in the system. You know, well, nobody owns the money. I say, yeah, they do. The person, the bank owns the money. It belongs to them. Say, go inside the bank, tell them there's something wrong, or call the number on the ATM machine. I'm not going to touch that money. It's not mine. Well, one, if somebody went to the ATM machine, they dropped the money, so it doesn't belong to the bank anymore. It's that person that dropped it. I said, it was the person that dropped it. You know, it's their money. You know, and then I said, well, if that person's gone and you can't locate them, then you just going to leave the money there? I said, no, I'll get the money. I'll take it into the bank. And I'll tell them I came by the ATM machine at such and such time, such and such date, and this money was on the ground. So that way, and they come back looking for the money, boom, got their money. Why? Because that's what I want to happen to me if I drop my money. I want somebody honest to be able to find that money and give it back to me. Do it to others as you wish them to do it to you, right? Okay, so the faith must be visible, must produce. Verbal faith is not enough. Mental faith is insufficient. Faith must be there, but it must be more. It must inspire action. Throughout his epistle to the Jewish believers, James integrates the true faith in everyday practical experiences by stressing that true faith must manifest itself in works of faith. So that's common. You say you have faith, I should be able to see it, right? We manifest it by what we do. And faith endures trials. Trials come and go, but a strong faith will face them head on and develop endurance. So this chapter, we're getting into James again. The first chapter of James, and I'm just kind of reading a little history about this book. Faith endures trials. Trials come and go, but a strong faith will face them head on and develop endurance. Faith understands temptation. Temptations, plural. It will not allow us to consent to our lust and slide into sin. Faith obeys the word. It will not merely hear or not do. Faith produces doers. Okay, so I'll say that again. It will not merely hear and not do. So there's a difference between having faith and not doing anything, and having faith and actually doing something. So exercising your faith, basically. Faith produces doers. Faith harbors no prejudice. Faith is more than mere words. It is more than knowledge. It is demonstrated by obedience. And I'm going to go and say, now let's go to James chapter 1, verses, let's do verses 1 through 4. Who would like to read that? And chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Okay, let me come over here to you. So for those who came in, we're reading James chapter 4. James, thank you. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Eric can't talk.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
So that's what translation is that? Okay, so that's NIV translation. So let's go to verse 1 and dissect it. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes. Who do you think he's addressing when he says to the 12 tribes? There you go. Okay. So we're talking about Israel. Then when he says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Then he says, my brethren. So now who are we talking about? Okay, so we got everybody included. We got the 12 tribes, we got the Israelites, and we've got the Christians who are scattered in different areas as well. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, which is various different temptations. All right, are we tempted? All the time. All right, now I want to see the person's hand that counts it joy. Count it all joy when you fall into temptation. Oh, here we go. Look at that. Got three hands that went up. They counted joy when they go into temptations. When I'm tempted, I'm not very happy for some reason. That's the fleshly part of me. Okay? Why are you happy when you're being tempted?
Because I know Jesus is with me. And I know I'm going to prevail, and I know I'm going to succeed, and I know I'm not going to fall for what Satan has for me.
Okay, so she's looking in the face of Satan, knowing that she's going to succeed because of Christ, who she serves, right? And so she's not worried because of this temptation she's going through, because she is a Christian. Very good, very good.
God says that we are purified through the fire. In other words, that we are cleansed through the fire. And the testing of our faith is the fire. And so when God tests us, or when we go through those trials and tribulations, God is purifying us.
Okay, so in the first four chapters, can we see that we're being purified by that? I think we can. So we'll go through that in a little bit. I'll take one more comment, and then we'll go through that.
No, I was just going to say it feels good, and it feels joyful when you cannot do something that you may want to do.
Okay, I agree with you there. That's that temptation. Remember, we are talking about temptation. Good point there, Manuel. Temptation is Satan wanting you to do something bad. Now, you have a choice at that point to either obey the lust of the flesh, the fleshly desires, the carnal mind wins at that point, or what? The spiritual takes over. And you got to fight. You got to resist at that point. Okay? So now he's giving you an opportunity to show your faith. How are you going to know that you're a faithful servant? Exactly. You got to have temptations then. So now, if I'm being tempted, James says, count it all joy, right? So that's what that's all about. Brethren, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. And so the question would be, what we're trying to address now is, why is it that we're supposed to count it all joy? Why are we supposed to be happy when we go through temptations? And now we're finding out.
You got to face one thing. One fact you got to face is that you want to do it. You want to do it, and to say no to something that you want to do because you realize it's wrong, it takes a lot, man.
So the temptation has to be something that the flesh wants to do. Okay? Something that the devil knows that sin that so easily besets us. He knows which one it is. Each and every one of us, he knows that good sin, you know, the one that we like to sin, and he knows. So now if you're tempted, you count it all joy. Have you failed? How many people have been tempted and failed? Okay. Now, I'm tempted again by that same sin. I'm going to now count it all joy. Exactly. Because now God's given me an opportunity to pass, okay? Count it all joy. Now I'm going to count it all joy because now.
You know, it has been explained to me as, you know, I found a shortcut down this one path that I take. And one day I take that path and there's a hole, you know. Because of the darkness, I don't see the hole, and I fall into the hole, and I suffer the consequences. Well, the next time I think about that street or that shortcut, I'll remember the hole, and I won't take that path anymore, because now I know there's consequences to be paid for taking that path, you know. And so therefore I find a new path and not follow that old path that has consequences that I don't want to do.
That's what God wants us to do, okay? Follow the new path and not our old path, right? So now let's explain this joy. We'll let the verses explain it. Verse 3, look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, so this is the temptation that we go through, that we're supposed to count it all joy. The trying of our faith worketh what? Patience. Okay, now I told you guys, every time I look at the book, I try to look at it as a formula, okay? So, formula is this. There's something that gets me to having patience. And everybody says, oh, God, give me patience. And they pray, dear Eric, can you pray for me to have patience? I really need patience. So I have to explain to them. There's a formula. What do you have to do in order to get patience? What do you have to go through? You got to go through some trials and tribulations and temptations, okay? Be careful when you pray, what you pray for. Be careful when you pray, when you ask God for faith, please give me patience, and everything starts happening around you and all this stuff starts going on, don't get upset with God, you ask for it.
And you know what?
That's how he gets you to your patience, is through temptations.
That's what people do.
Yeah.
They pray and ask God for patience.
They pay.
Yeah. Then when everything starts happening, then they want to say, oh God, why the devil messing with me? Did you ask for that?
We have to remember what we did ask for.
That's right.
We have to know in those times that when we're tested like that, that his spiritual strength will give us the abilities necessary to overcome those trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Because he knows our hearts. We have to have a willing heart to obey his laws and his commands. It's a requirement for all of his children, especially Christians.
It is a requirement, because look at verse 2. My brethren, what does it say after my brethren? You have the opportunity, if you thus choose, to count it all joy. Is that what it said?
It said count it all joy.
Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like a command to me.
Count it all joy.
There you go. You don't have a choice.
Right.
If you are a Christian, you do not have a choice. It's not up to you. You don't get a chance to decide. Count it all joy, period. Right. It is a command. That's it. Count it all joy. Why? Because if you're a Christian, you have to count, you have to see it that way. Because we live as Christians in the spiritual realm, not the physical realm.
That goes back to my analogy. You know, oftentimes sin or temptations seems like the quick way to happiness. You know, much like the shortcut, it seems like the quickest way to our destination. And most of us are looking for some type of fulfillment in life. But understanding that sometimes when we take the new route, you know, it's not as fast as the quick way to happiness. You know, when we're looking for God to intervene in our lives, you know, oftentimes that comes with maturity. Maturity is, and the way to maturity is, takes patience.
It does, because you can't see it. Okay, it's a spiritual thing. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Can't see it. Can't see it. And so you got to have faith and purity.
Another thing here, you got to count it all joy. The reason he's saying count it all joy, because if you don't count it all joy, then that leaves another door open for you to make excuses for why you can't do it.
If I'm not joyful about it when I'm going through temptations, what's my other emotion?
Man, I can't do this, man. This is just too hard, man. Yep, get angry.
Get angry? I get mad at it. Okay, so I can get angry at the situation, or I can count it all joy, or I can blame. Yeah. I can even blame God. We'll see this later on, right? Let's look at verse 3. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Oh, wait a minute. It sounds like to me, anybody know how to go to a kill or get some, I can't even think of it, when you have a cat, when you're gonna get it right, Eric. Woo. Okay. When the clay, thank you, couldn't think of the word clay. When you get the clay and you want to mold it, right? So before you put it to the kiln, before you even mold it, what do you do to that clay? Anybody knows about the stuff I can't think about right now? The process of putting it in the fire. What is that called? Anybody? Huh? Pottery. It's.
Thought I knew. Sorry, I don't know. I thought I knew, but.
Oh, okay.
You put the huh?
When you love someone and not like what they do.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you love somebody and not like what they do? Okay, you're softening, you're molding it, but you have to get the air out of it. So you pound it, you'll see them throwing it down and pounding. They do the same thing with dough when they're making pizza dough.
Yeah.
And they throw it down and they kneel it. They knead it. I can't, my it's too far gone in my brain. And I think it's called kneading. Is that correct? Kneading. Kneading the bread, kneading the dough, and you're getting the air out of it. And then you mold it. And then you put it in the kiln. And you fire it up, you know, you put your paint or gloss or whatever on there, you fire it up. If there's one little, if there's an air bubble in it, boom, it blows up in the kiln. And your pottery is in pieces. So it's important to fix it. So that's when we look at this as a formula. Look at the end result of the formula. Look at verse 4. You have patience creating perfection. Ooh. Is he trying to perfect us? Now, doesn't the Bible use the analogy that he is the potter, we are the clay?
Yep.
Okay, so what is he doing? Perfecting us, taking out all the imperfections. If it has air bubbles in it, take it out. You got to beat it sometimes to get the air bubbles out of it.
Right.
But you're not doing it for bad reasons, you're doing it for good reasons.
Right.
Because if you don't get all the air bubbles out of it, When the heat hits it, and what does heat represent? The fiery trials that we go through, right? That's what he's doing. He's perfecting us. Think about people that find gold. And you find gold, and you look at it, there's gold. And you look, that looks like dirt. You know, what are you talking about, gold? It doesn't look like gold to me. So they wash it. And then it still doesn't really look like gold, but there's rocks, alloy metals, everything attached to it. So how do you get it to where it's just purified gold? There you go. Put it in the fire and refine it. So guess what? I can count it all joy now that I see. Now I know what you're doing, God. Now I know why I'm going through all of this, why I'm going through the trials and tribulations. You're trying to make me perfect by giving me patience. And the only way I can get patience is by going through trials and tribulations. There you go. There's your formula.
Amen. God disciplines those that he loves.
That's right. And he also disciplines us that he loves. And let me tell you, when you're not disciplined, when you're able to do evil and get away with it, that's not a good thing.
Not a good
thing. That means you're not his. Okay? Exactly. And yes, and that's not a good. People are happy about it when they get away with crimes, but they're not going to be happy in the afterlife, are they?
Right.
All right, let's do verses 5 through 8. Somebody read verses 5 through 8. We're chapter 1. Okay, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8.
If any lack his wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth bridledly not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Okay, so let's dissect this down as I like to do. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of it. Now, notice we talked about, I want you to, because why is he talking about wisdom? Why is it popular? What did the first four verses, what was it talking about? And now why is he going to talk about wisdom?
Because it's the knowledge that comes from God.
Okay. So how do I count it all joy? Out of wisdom. Receiving the wisdom of God's word, right? Knowing that it's the formula. That's wisdom. So now we're going to attack, when we go through trials and tribulations, we go through it different from the world using wisdom, which comes from the word of God. Basically, that's it. So now that we know that God is working on us, he's perfecting us, right? He's giving us patience. That's, and I'm doing it opposite. I'm saying perfection is the last thing that we'll get. Prior to that, we'll have patience when we go through trials and tribulations, but if we count it all joy. You see what I'm saying? Got to count it all joy in order to get to that point of patience, in order to get to that point of perfection. You see what I mean? That's where we start. So your trials and tribulations, the way you look at it is count it all joy. You got to be happy. You're going through it. And then, and I say happy, positive about it. Okay? Have faith that it's going to be okay. But knowledge of what God's doing to you. Okay? If you know he's perfecting you and he's working on you, isn't that a good thing? It's a good thing, right? So that's the Father at work. But then in verse 5 it says, if any of you lacks wisdom. So how do we go from the subject of talking about trials and tribulations to wisdom? That should let us know that, go ahead. Because what do we,
Part of the distinction of rain and our mortal bodies, also in Genesis it also says that man has become like us, knowing both good and evil. You know, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And the thing about it is that in this process, that when we were born, we were born as infants. You know, in the garden there was innocence, but God had a plan all along to bring man about through the knowledge of who he was through a process. Now, that process was interrupted by sin, but when sin came into the world, God still had a plan. And that plan was to bring man back into the fold of God through the process of sanctification. You know, and that started
through Christ Jesus, who is
the Word.
That's right. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God.
One good thing about wisdom is that wisdom gives us a way out. It gives us a way out, and it gives us a new way to go. When we used to go the old way, it gives us a new way to go. See, if I used to do this and it always fell into sin, now I got a new way of thinking.
So wisdom gives us, like, I look at it as the Wizard of Oz, follow the yellow brick road, okay? It gives us the right path to follow. So now what we understand is that he's talking about wisdom. He says, if you lack wisdom, that means if you find yourself to the point in your life where you're going through trials and tribulation, you cannot count it all joy. Okay? If you're at that point where you're upset and you're angry because of the trials and tribulations, you lack wisdom. Okay?
You're not thinking.
Well, that's true. You're not thinking with your spiritual mind. Right. Okay, you're thinking with the fleshly mind. So let's break it down. If in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. He's more than happy to give you wisdom. If you don't have it, that means that you need to ask for it. But how do you ask for it? You ask for it knowing, in faith, knowing he's going to give it to you. Don't doubt that he'll give it to you, because that's what the next part says. It says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In other words, if you really doubt that he's going to give it to you, He ain't going to give it to you. Okay? And you're unstable in all your ways, not just your spiritual ways, your physical. And I figured that out. I had that issue. I had that problem. I had to go back to this. Okay? When I'm going through trials and tribulations, instead of getting on and going, God, why? Why are you putting me through this? Why do I have to do it? Why? I've been asking, and I'm still in this situation. Why? And I started thinking about Job. Okay, and I started thinking about that man going through everything he went through and losing everything he lost, and that man never blamed God once. And got down when he lost everything and sacrificed, made a sacrifice to God and worshiped God. And I felt so low, like a little small brat, and that's what I am most of the time, is a small brat. And I have to check myself. Well, the word checks me. Sorry. I have to allow the word to check. Right. Check, you know, because that's what it's all about. That's the wisdom.
Oftentimes we forget that God starts us off on spiritual milk. You know, and the thing about that is that that's just like a parent that says, don't touch that iron. It's hot. And as a kid, we touch that iron and we endure the consequences. You know, but that teaches, or that should teach us, that next time we come into contact with that iron, now we know it's hot, but we shouldn't touch it.
Okay. I mean, it's, I give the example when it comes to this, when it comes to faith, having faith, because that's what we're talking about, verse 5, I mean wisdom, excuse me, and faith. You have the older person that's like an older senior citizen, a lady, I'll use it as an example. Let's say she's 88 years of age. She doesn't have any family. She lives by herself, and she's on fixed income, barely making it, and her house burns down. And she's able, somebody helps her, and able to get her out. And she's out there on the lawn, sitting down, thanking Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you. And you're looking at this crazy woman like, woman, you just lost everything. You've got nothing. Your house, everything you own. And she's just thanking God. Why? That woman's been through stuff. Yeah. That means she's been through trials and tribulations. She's seen the work, God's hand work in her life. So then when something else goes wrong, guess what? I'm not worried about it, right? Because I've seen God in action. That's how we should be all of our lives as Christians. The stronger we are, the more we can look at trials and tribulations and not even get worried, because we've already seen what he can do. When you lose your job, he still takes care of you. When you lose your home and all these things and relationships, I mean, you should always know.
And the most important thing that she's looking at, she's still here.
That's the most important thing, the life. Okay, it's the more important thing. Her life got spared. So she looked at the most important thing. It had nothing to do with the materialistic things that she owned. And she wasn't worried about anything because God's been taking care of all this time, right? He's going to take care of us. Matthew chapter 6.
You know, God's word this morning is talking about wisdom. If you search Proverbs 4:7, it says, beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head in the presence of you with glorious crown. Present you with a glorious crown.
The wisdom, the word of God gives you wisdom. And that's why we're supposed to study, to show ourselves approved, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightfully divide the word of truth. But that is what guides us. That's how he talks to us, right? We talk to him when we pray. He talks to us when we read his word, and that we receive wisdom. All the jewels, all the gold and silver. I mean, a person will sell everything they have if they were to find a property that they know that has gold and emeralds and jewels on it. And yet, we don't feel the same way about something that's even priceless. You can't put a price on this. The wisdom of God, the word of God. And if we do that, we can go through all kinds of trials and tribulations. Let's, how much time do I have? It's that time, isn't it? It's probably a good time to come to a conclusion. Okay. All righty then. Normally we're supposed to be 45. So any questions? We'll take questions or comments at this time, and then we'll conclude. Any questions or comments?
You didn't ask for faith. I mean, faith. Don't give me patience. You didn't ask for patience, right? All right, anybody have any comments or? No? All right, if we have no more comments or questions, then we'll go ahead and conclude our class this morning. Appreciate all of you guys and participating. And may God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and studying of his word this morning.